today's daf, we learn Shabbos daf Peyal. If the Mishnah on the top of daf Peyal continues to discuss the various shiurim of things, how much you're allowed to carry out and how much one is chayiv for carrying on Shabbos, so the Mishnah discusses three items: bones, glass, and rocks. That the shiur for bones is two opinions. The Tanakhama holds the size of a bone that you can make a spoon out of. Rabbi Yehuda says the size that you can make a lock out of. When it comes to glass, everyone agrees that it's the size of a piece of glass that a weaver would scrape his weaver's pick with. And when it comes to rocks, there's a Machlokas Tanakhama, and Rabbi Elazar Yaakov Tanakhama says if it's a large enough rock that you could throw it at a bird to scare away the bird, then you're chayiv for carrying it. Rabbi Elazar Yaakov says no, it has to be large enough that you could throw it at an animal, at a behemah, and it would scare away the behemah, then you'd be chayiv. The Gemara then spends the majority of the daf discussing rocks, particularly those rocks that were used as primitive toilet paper back in the day. So they tell us that the size of rocks for Beis HaKisei, different opinions. One shita is that it was kezayis ke'egos kebeitza, three different shiurim of rocks, three different sizes that they would use in ascending order when going to the bathroom. And the other shita is that no, you would just take a handful of rocks. The Gemara says that the two opinions, the quote mentioned in the Braisa about what the normal size was for these rocks, whether it's ke'egos or kebeitza, is a reflection of the two opinions that you have, or mirrors the two opinions that you have in regards to esrog. The Mishnah talks about a minimum size of an esrog, also has those same two ideas, of the same two shiurim, either the minimum size of an egos or the minimum size of a beitza of an egg. The Gemara then quotes a stira, or points out there seems to be a stira, whether a person is allowed to reuse rocks that are used lebeis hakisei, that are used for kinuach after the beis hakisei. On the one hand, it seems that it's okay to reuse them, because when it talks about a rock from a pestle, it says that you could use it if yesh aleha aid, if there's something on it where it's still dirty from the last time it was used, so then you know that it's not going to be used to grind anything anymore. It's only going to be used for beis hakisei. But on the other hand, there are 10 things that the Gemara says are very unhealthy to do, that if a person does any of these 10 things, he's likely to get hemorrhoids, and one of them is reusing rocks that were already used by somebody else. So which is it? Are you allowed to reuse it? Not allowed to reuse it? The Gemara has three possible resolutions to the stira. Number one, it says if it's still moist, so then you're not allowed to reuse it. If it's dried already, then you can reuse it. Number two, tzad echad versus beis tzadin. If there's still one clean side, then you can reuse that clean side. But if it's dirty on both sides, then you cannot reuse it. And third answer is hadidei hadechavre. It depends who made it dirty in the first place. If you're the one that made it dirty, then it's not so bad. If somebody else made it dirty, that is disgusting. The Gemara goes on and unhealthy. The Gemara goes on Pe'alf and Beis to discuss whether you're allowed to bring these rocks up to the roof. Is that called the tirchi yaseira, to schlep it up to the roof? So the Gemara says, no, a very important klal in halacha. Gadol kavod abriya shadocha eslos aseisha b'torah. If that's the most private area that a person is going to have, so the kavod abriya's factor outweighs anything else, and you can go and bring the rocks to the roof. The Gemara then tells us a halacha that a person is not supposed to defecate in a plowed field. So the Gemara has different possibilities of why not, but at the end of the day it says because we're afraid you're going to take a rock from an area that's on top of a mound and you're going to put it in a hole in the ground. And whenever you smooth out the floor of anything, whether it be your house or whether it be a field, it's a violation of some sort of malacha. In your house, when you fill in a hole in the ground, it's a violation of bona. In the field, it's a violation of choresh. So that's why they were concerned a person shouldn't do that. The Gemara then talks about something called a parpisa, some type of flower pot that they had. And the Gemara says that this flower pot is, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos, shari l'tutulei, but what you're not allowed to do is, if it's on the ground, you're not allowed to lift it up and put it on top of pegs. And if it's on top of pegs, you're not allowed to put it on the ground, because it has a hole in the bottom. So if it's on the ground, it's considered to be attached to the ground. When you pick it up and put it on top of pegs, it's like you're detaching it. And in the reverse, it's like you're reattaching it to the ground. But most notable about this parpisa is Rashi quotes from a Tshuva Sagaonim that this parpisa is the first source that we have of doing kaparos. That Rashi quotes from the Tshuva Sagaonim that they would plant these things and these seeds in baskets made out of kapos tamarim, and they would in advance of Rosh Hashanah, and then on Erev Rosh Hashanah they would wave around their heads and say Zeh Chalifasi, Zeh Tmurasi. That's this parpisa, the earliest source for kaparos that I'm aware of. The Gemara then goes on to tell us that a person should not clean themselves with cheres on Shabbos. Dafka on Shabbos, the Gemara tries to figure out what's wrong with cleaning with cheres on Shabbos. Suggests maybe it's a sakana issue. Well, then it would be usher during the week also. Maybe it's a kishuf issue. Well, then it will be yasur during the week also. So maybe it's hasharas nimin that it's gonna cut off hairs. But the Gemara says that's a davar sheinu miskavin, so that should be mutter anyhow. So Gemara says really it's yasur to do during the week also, and you have to say that it's a problem of kishuf. In what way does it relate to kishuf? So the daf concludes with this strange story that Rav Chista and Rav Bar Afuna were going on a boat, and a woman wanted to join them, and they said no thanks, you're not invited. And she said something with kishuf, b'derech kishuf, she said something and the boat was locked down, the boat couldn't move. So they said something and the boat was untied and the boat was able to move. And she said, I knew I would never be able to get you guys with my kishuf, because you don't do any of the things that make you susceptible to kishuf, that make you vulnerable to kishuf rather. And one of the things that you don't do is that you're not mekanech b'chaspa. You don't use a shard of pottery to clean yourselves, so therefore you're not vulnerable to the kishuf, and also you don't kill the lice on your clothing, and you don't, when you have a bundle of vegetables, you first untie the bundle, take a vegetable out rather than taking it out from the bundle while it's still tied, and that's why you're not vulnerable to kishuf. Okay, that's a chazara Shabbos Taf Pe'al.